ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। A question was asked by the student, how to reach that Paramapurusha, that Paramapada, that supreme post, because of which all my sins will be destroyed. The Guru has given an answer, bhakti, shraddha, faith, bhakti and dhyana. Faith and bhakti, the student already has, it is presumed, because the student is at a quite a high level. And therefore, Bhagwan, the main topic of this Upanishad becomes dhyana, which is nididhyasana or meditation. Brahmaji, the creator, then, and who's also the guru, has then also said what will not give liberation. And in that he says karma, prajaya and dhana. So karma, actions, progeny and wealth will not, they are not a direct means to liberation. They can, however, be the indirect means, but not definitely not the direct means. And we have seen the details. Then he went on to explain the external posture, what it should be in meditation, sitting up straight with the spine, neck and back, neck and head in a straight line, in a stable position, in a comfortable position, atyashrami. Sitting in the seat of meditation, you must not be a householder or a brahmachari or a vanaprasthi. You must be a sannyasi for that time period so that the thoughts of your other ashramas will not come. If you sit as a mother, you're going to think of the children. If you sit as an employee, you're going to think of your employment. So you must not sit in the seat of meditation as any one of these, just to avoid the thoughts pertaining to those positions. And then he says, doing pranamya, doing salutations to your guru, you should focus. And the ways to focus have been given, the formless way, the form with form, and then the third mantra stating both form and formless. If meditation is being done on the formless, which is extremely difficult, like Raman Maharshi has said, as long as you consider yourself to be a form, meditation on formless will be next to impossible. However, if we think that we are capable of doing that, then meditation on the formless has to be done as I am those 13 pointers that have been given. So I am limitless. I am Arupa. I am Achintya. Everything is, it should be I am, because you cannot think of the formless as something else. The minute you think of it as something else other than me, that formlessness goes away, because then I am here with a form and then there's something else which is formless that doesn't work. And therefore it has to be a meditation as I am. I am all these 13 pointers. Easier than that is to meditate on the form. The Upanishad has given the form of Shiva, but it can also be form of Krishna, Rama, or any Ishtadevata, Mata Rani, whatever is your Ishtadevata. And the reason we say Ishtadevata, deity of your liking, is because whatever you like, you will stay with that for a longer time than something which you are not interested in. So if your Ishtadevata is not Shivji, then that mantra should be taken as any deity. Point is, you can meditate on the form. It'll be easier because you think you have a form. Now Bhagwan also has a form. Now you think of all his different aspects, attributes, whatever they may be. And then Shruti goes on to say, or Guru goes on to say, that he only is Brahma. He only is Indra. So giving us a pointer to the oneness of everything. Like I told you, in your altar, we have many, many deities. We must come to realize, if we have worshipping in the correct direction, if you're going in the correct direction, that must, it must end in the thought that all these deities are one. And then that thought has to be carried on to the outside world, knowing that all these beings are also one. Okay. Then he talked about that there is no other way to liberation other than knowing that the self in me is the self in all, that I am that substratum who is supporting this entire world of names and forms. Okay, there is nanya pantha vimukta. There is no other way, or even yati nanya na hetuna. Both those mantras tell us that there is no other way. This is the only way to final liberation. Meditation is the ultimately in meditation, when we reach nirvikalpa samadhi, that is where we will come to realize. So all our efforts, all the karmas that we do, must be such that they help the meditation process when we ultimately reach that stage. And how do I do this? He says, Atmanam Aranim Krutva. So you make it into an Arani. Arani is an instrument with two cups, and in between the rod is churned so that the friction between them creates fire. This is in our own self. It is the lower mind and the higher mind, or it is the mind and the intellect. They must do this churning. The mind thinks, oh, I'm body. No, Guru says I'm not body. I am Jiva. No, Guru says I'm not Jiva. So this sort of mananam, churning, has to go on in the mind. And then the fire that will be created because of the friction, because of the knowledge that will be created, we can say. Not fire is synonym for knowledge, darkness for ignorance, fire which gives light is for knowledge. That knowledge will be created, which will burn all our sins, the greatest sin being considering myself to be the body. Okay, so that will happen. Pasham dahati pandita. The minute I disidentify from my body, that very moment I will disidentify from the world. That this is the hardest identification to break, identification with the body. It's very easy to know that I'm not the world, I'm not the house, I'm not this, I'm not that. But extremely difficult to know that I am also not the body. We must understand the body also to be a part of the world. And the reason that it is a part of the world is because it is idam. It is other than aham. I know my body. I see my body. I feel my body. And therefore, it is idam. It is not aham. This thought has to be very, very firmly established in the mind. Now, why is it that this notion is so very firm? Why is it? And this is what is being explained. We were on mantra number 12. We have read it. We were on Sa Eva Maya Parimohitatma. I told you Maya Sama Iti Maya, that which is not. Maya is the inherent power of the Lord. Identifying with Maya, the pure consciousness becomes Ishvara, and through Ishvara, this creation happens. That way, the pure consciousness does not lose its condition as the non-doer, because we say pure consciousness is the non-doer. If we say that pure consciousness with the help of Maya created the world, it loses its position of non-doer, which cannot happen. Therefore, when pure consciousness invokes the power of Maya, it is his power, so he may or may not invoke it. When it is invoked, he is known as Ishvara. Now, this same power is called as avidya in us, in the jiva. So what is the difference between avidya and maya? Maya, I already told you, is also a mix. It's a mix of sattva, rajas and tamas. It is trigunatmak. Maya is trigunatmak. Maya is also known as prakriti. Prakriti is trigunatmak. Maya is trigunatmak. Sattva being the purest, rajas and tamas being the impurities. Rajas causing agitations, tamas causing ignorance. So in Maya, there is a predominance of sattva, and that is why it is extremely pure. And because it is extremely pure, it is under the control of Ishvara. Ishvara controls Maya. And because Ishvara controls Maya, Ishvara at all times knows his own real nature to be pure consciousness. All right. The rajas and tamas are known as impurities. We must understand that we say it has a predominance of sattva. We don't say that it has only sattva. It also has rajas and tamas, but it is extremely in very, very minimal quantities. Because if Maya did not have rajas and tamas, creation could not have happened. All right, because if you remember Tattva Bodh, there are certain things that have come from the rajasic aspect, there are certain things that have come from the tamasic aspect. So if we say that there is only pure sattva in Maya, it's, therefore we don't say that it is only sattva, we say there is a predominance of sattva. In avidya, there is a predominance of the impurities, which is rajas and tamas. So there is sattva in us also. There are times when we are peaceful. There are times when we make absolutely correct decisions. So therefore, there is sattva in us also, but it is small. It is the larger quantities of rajas and tamas, which is the impurities. And because of the great number of impurities, jiva is under the control of avidya. So we are under the gunas control us. I don't feel like getting up in the morning. I don't get up. I'm controlled by tamas. I feel like talking too much. I'm controlled by rajas. Where I don't have to talk, I speak. I'm controlled by rajas. And so what is happening is that is the difference between Ishvara and jiva. Ishvara controls Maya, and the reason for the control is the predominance of sattva. Jiva is under the control of avidya. That's why it is called avidya. It is not called Maya. Maya and avidya are one and the same. They're both prakriti. Prakriti has two aspects. One has a predominance of sattva, which is Maya. One has a predominance of rajas and tamas, which is avidya. So jiva stays under the control of avidya, because of which at any given moment, it does not have a clear apprehension of its own nature. Jiva also is only pure consciousness. Ishvara also is only pure consciousness. Ishvara knows, jiva doesn't know. That is the difference. Now, what happens is, sa eva maya parimohitatma is covered by maya. Here the word maya is used, but it's actually avidya. Maya and avidya are same, but this is even more distinction. So maya, delusion, it is, pari is all around. So all around it gets deluded because of this avidya. It is, Bhagavad Puran says that the fetus in the womb of the mother actually remembers everything, remembers the previous, all the previous births, remembers all the suffering that it has gone through. And actually it seems the fetus, all in the womb, the fetus prays not to have birth. It prays, that is what it is said. Because it knows that when I take birth, there's going to be only suffering. There is nothing else in this samsara. And I have gone through all these previous births. I don't want to take birth. But because of the force of its prarabdha, it gets pushed out of the womb. The minute it gets pushed out of the womb, it gets enveloped by this avidya or maya. And the minute it gets enveloped, it forgets all its previous births. And it gets entangled in this world. And this is what is happening. Mohitatma shariram asthaya karoti sarvam. Then, because of the covering of this avidya, it identifies itself with the body. And when it identifies with the body, then it identifies with the world. And then striya panadi vichitra bhoga, vichitra, different kinds of bhoga here is experiences. So it wants to experience, stri means opposite sex here. So both man and woman drink. Pana is drink. So he, because of his identification in the body, staying in the body and thinking that I am the body, that is what is happening. Ishvara doesn't think I'm the body. Jiva thinks I'm the body. Then because I am the body, I have to do things which I like for the body. So I have to have enjoyments. I have to have all kinds of experiences. I have to have all kinds of situations. And because of that, karoti karma, it keeps on, it has got all these desires. Desires arise out of a sense of incompleteness, out of a sense of not knowing who I really am, out of a sense of knowing that not knowing that I am the source of happiness. I am myself the source of happiness, but I don't know that. I think that the source of happiness is somewhere else. And because it is somewhere else and I'm not happy because I don't have this object, person or situation, I will do karma to get that because I think that is what will give me happiness. And yes, for a certain period of time, it does give me happiness, but then it wears off. No matter how great a happiness I had with that object, person or situation, it wears off. And when it wears off, then I start running after something else. And therefore, my whole life is a matter of running. I'm running towards something that I like, and I'm running away from something that I don't like. And this is here, Sa Eva Jagrat Paritruptimeti. This is what is the waking state. We are very familiar with the three states, waking, dream, and deep sleep. This is what we are doing in the waking state. The waking state is a state where all the senses are very active along with the mind. That is the technical definition of waking state. Jagrat Avastha is where all the senses are. So I can see immediately, I can hear some noise, I can feel something, I can smell something. And the mind is also, that is called as Jagrat. That's why sometimes we see somebody and our mind is thinking of something else. And everyone says, oh, are you sleeping? We say. So Jagrat Avastha is where the mind and the senses are fully alert. Only then it is considered as waking state by the scriptures. Otherwise, then you're sleeping only. You're daydreaming. We daydream also. Our mind is here, there. So somebody comes in front of us. That's why we trip and fall. That's why we have accidents, because the mind was somewhere else. So that is not considered as Jagrat Avastha by the scriptures. So Jagrat Avastha is where all the senses and mind are active and fully alert. And in this Jagrat Avastha, not knowing my real nature, identifying with this body, I'm doing all kinds of karmas to fulfill those desires, which I think will give me happiness. It's only a thought. It is not the real happiness. But I think that it's going to give me happiness. And this is what I do. That's what it is said, the jiva vichitra bhoge, different kinds of experiences it wants. You know, you go do one thing, then now you want to do something else. Now you want to do something else. Now you want to taste, you know, other kinds of food. Think about it. You know, we go do one thing, then we want to see, you know, something else. We want to see greater and greater experiences we go after, thinking that that is what is going to give us happiness. Okay, so this is the state of the jiva, or the who is nothing but the self. This is what is being told, is nothing but the self. How? Self identifying with avidya, where there is a predominance of rajas and tamas. Now,
Swapne sajiva sukha dukha bhoktaha swamayaya kalpita jiva loke sushupti kale sakale viline tamo bhibhuta sukha rupameti.
The very same individualized ego in the dream state experiences its pleasure and pain in a field of existence created by its own maya, misapprehension of reality. During the state of profound sleep, when everything is merged, it is overpowered by tamas, non-apprehension, and comes to exist as bliss nature. So the other two states are now being described. So let us see dream. We all know dream. Dream state. We have had dreams or nightmares at one time or the other. The phenomena of dream, the way it happens, it's exactly like a movie theater. We go for a movie and we have to sit in a dark theater. We cannot sit in a very well lit theater. So the theater is extremely dark. There is a screen, and on that screen, a film is projected. But is it just projected? No. Behind us is the projector, and it has a reel. And that reel, the projector is going round and round, and the reel is, every frame of that reel is getting projected on the screen, and then we can see the movie. So in the dream, the dark theater is the mind. The mind has become totally dark because you've fallen asleep and there's complete darkness. What is the screen? The mind itself is the screen. Because where are you seeing the dream? You don't see it outside of you, right? You are seeing it within you. So the mind itself is the screen. Where is the projector? The vasanas. One more thing is there in the movie theater. There has to be a light on top of the projector. If that light is not there, then that reel cannot be, it will not be lit. Okay, so there is the light, there is the reel, which is on the projector. There is the dark theater, and there's the screen. So four things are essential in a movie. Same way in a dream, four things are essential. the mind, which is the dark theater, mind has to be there. Second is the screen, which also is the mind. Third is the projector and the reel. That is our vasanas. Whatever is not in our vasanas, you will not see in your dream. Just like whatever is not on that reel can never ever be seen on that screen. So also whatever is not in your vasana, you cannot see it in your dream. So whatever dream that you have, know that it was in subtle form as a vasana. Okay. What is the light? There is a light on top of the projector. That is the Sakshi Chaitanya or the Chidabhasa, the reflection of consciousness that is happening in the mind. You do need a light. And that is the light which makes you remember that you had a dream. Sometimes you may remember the details of the dream. Sometimes you may remember that, oh, I had the dream, but I can't remember what it is. And sometimes you may even forget, but most of the times you will know that, oh, I had a very restless night. I dreamt all night. I couldn't fall asleep. It's like half, you're half awake in that dream. Whatever you see on the screen, like I told you, it is your vasana. So in the dream, your vasanas are getting exhausted. That's a good part about the dream. But a mind which dreams a lot is a rajasic mind. That's why it is said that misapprehension of reality. So misapprehension of reality is coming from rajas. And so a rajasic mind will have more dreams as you progress in your spiritual studies. And that is one of the landmarks of spiritual progress, is less dreams, more deep sleep. So the vasanas that are in subtle form within us, see, the reason is if you compare dream to the waking world, it is actually exactly the same. Because in the waking world, you have experiences of happiness, sadness, jealousy, fear, anger, whatever. In the dream also, you experience all those things. Haven't you had fear in the dream? Haven't you had happiness in the dream? Haven't you had felt maybe jealous? All kinds, we have seen all kinds of things in the dream. Like, you know, collectively, probably we have seen everything. Okay. And you are feeling, you do feel fear in dream. You do feel happy in dream. You do feel sad in dream. You cry in dream. I have cried because when I was a very young child, I saw the death of my own father and I was crying in my dream. Because you see all these things, right? So the dream and the waking world, there is actually no difference, except the waking world feels more stable than the dream world. Because in the dream, you could be dreaming that you're in Paris, but when you get up, you're in Vancouver only. You're nowhere near Paris. But in the waking world, if you sleep in Vancouver, you will never get up in Paris. You will, unless you're on a plane. That's a different matter. But if you have slept in your own bed in Vancouver, if I have slept in my own bed in Vancouver, there's no chance that I'm going to wake up in Calgary or wake up in Paris or anywhere else in the world. So there's more stability to the waking world. There is not that much. There is no stability to the dream world. Also, in the dream, you can suddenly, you see a circus, you come home, you see an elephant flying, you see yourself flying. You could. You will see a tiger in your own bedroom, which is kind of not possible. So things which are not possible, you will see in the dream, which generally in the waking world is, nobody has seen a flying elephant other than in a movie, right? Nobody, so it is not possible. So in the dream, that is what it does. Now, the dream is, like I told you, it is a place to exhaust the weaker vasana. See, the experiences that we get, okay? Experience of fear, happiness, sadness, jealousy. These experiences that I feel, they are being triggered by my vasanas. And every time I experience a particular feeling or an emotion, that vasana is getting exhausted. So in the dream, when I experience fear, when I experience anger, when I experience jealousy, happiness, sadness, whatever, those vasanas are getting exhausted. That is the advantage of dream. In the waking world also, they are getting exhausted. But the difference is, in the waking world, I have doership. I react to that emotion. So when I when I'm angry, then I'll say something to the person or I'll do something. And the response is coming out of my ego. And because it is not even a response, it is a reaction. So because of that reaction, what I am doing is I create a new vasana for myself. So at every moment in my waking state, I am exhausting vasanas, but by taking ownership of that experience, I create another vasana for myself. But in the dream, because there is no doership, there is no doership in dream. So when I dream and when I undergo fear, I have exhausted my vasana, but I have not created a new one for myself. That is the difference between waking and dream state. They're similar, but they have their differences. Okay? So this, that's why it says, Swapne sa jiva sukha dukha bhoktaha. It experiences bhokta. It is the experiencer. Bhokta is experiencer. It is the experiencer of sukha and dukha. And sukha dukha includes every other emotion. So jealousy, anger, fear, whatever, everything. There's two words. Sva mayaya kalpita jiva loke. So it's because of me, it's kalpita. It is imagined. There's nothing real in there. There is no tiger. There is no lion. Gurudev has a very... He would, of course, elaborately explain, I was married and then I had 10 children and I was so happy. And then one day I took the children on a picnic and then suddenly this elephant came and he put his foot on my chest and I was screaming and I woke up and it was only my wife putting, and I didn't have any 10 children or anything. So it is swakalpita mayaya. I have only done it, but I have not done it intentionally. I have done it because of my vasanas, because of the kind of vasanas that I have developed over the many, many births. Okay. So point is here that same jiva in the waking state who is doing karma, that is the same jiva in the dream state that is experiencing sukha and dukkha. And this is how this dream is happening. Okay. Sushupti kale sakale viline. In deep sleep state where there is only complete darkness, okay, and everything vilina is merges. So the mind, remember that in the dream state and in the waking state the mind is active. It's the mind that's doing everything. So mind is very active. We already said waking state senses and mind both are active in the waking state. In the dream state only the mind is active because the senses are folded, the eyes are not open. Yet I see. The ears are not, you know, functioning, but yet I hear. I hear sounds. I hear screaming. I may scream myself. So I hear. So I smell also in my dream. So without the senses, the mind only is doing all this. Smelling, touching, tasting, whatever. Okay. So mind plus senses in the waking, mind alone in the dream, and no mind in the deep sleep state. So no mind means mind is not going anywhere. It merges with the causal body. So in your chart, in the V, the M and I, they merge into that vasana level, into the causal body. They will merge in deep sleep state, but they will be there. It is called as manolaya. It is not manonasha. What we want to do is manonasha, which can only happen in the state of nirvikalpa samadhi. But in the state of deep sleep, what is happening is manoliyate, viline is there, or liyate word is there. It merges with the causal body and it stays there. It stays there as long as I am fast asleep. Then, and it is dark. So when I wake up, the thought that I have is I knew nothing. The thought that I have when I wake up, see your own experience. You know, you have a nice one night sleep and in the morning you get up and you say, I did not know anything and I was happy. Okay. So the fact that I remember that I knew nothing tells me that there is memory. So if there is memory, there has to be an experiencer. If there is a rememberer, he himself has to be the experiencer. If I have had a dream last night, only I can tell that dream. Nobody else can tell that dream because they have not experienced it. I have alone experienced it. So if I am saying getting up in the morning, if I am saying that I knew nothing and I was very happy, then I must have been there in deep sleep. So I, as the Sakshi Chaitanya, is there in deep sleep. the Sakshi is there, okay, which is the Turiya state, which is beyond the this thing. And Sukha Rupam Eti, it is of the nature of happiness. Have any one of us got up from a nice deep sleep and said, oh, I was so sorrowful, you know, that in my deep sleep I was very sorrowful? Never. Why? Because the only thing present is the Sakshi Chaitanya, and Sakshi Chaitanya is of the nature of bliss. Therefore, the only thing that is present in deep sleep is actually sleep, is happiness. Except while I'm undergoing that happiness, experiencing that happiness, I'm not aware of it. That is the sad part of it. The difference between Nirvikalpa Samadhi and Sushupti, deep sleep, is exactly this. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, I experience happiness, but I know that it is there. In deep sleep, I experience happiness, but I do not know that it is there. And it is tamo bibhutaha. It is tamas. Because why? It is complete ignorance. In the state of deep sleep, I don't even know whether I'm a king or a beggar, whether I'm a rich or poor, whether I'm on the bed or on the floor, where I'm... If I'm fast asleep, I wouldn't know if I'm outside of the house or inside the house, outside on the couch or on the bed or nothing. It's a state of complete ignorance. And therefore, it is tamas. Dream is not a state of complete ignorance because I'm emoting. I'm feeling all those emotions. And therefore, it is a state of rajas. There's a predominance of rajas in dream. But in deep sleep, there is... From the waking, we may or may not know this subtle difference, but from waking, you can never go into a dream state. From waking, you have to go into a deep sleep state because that tamas, that dark theater has to be created. Then from deep sleep, you go into dream, and from dream, you can either go into deep sleep or you can come out into waking. But when you're going into dream, it has to be via the deep sleep state. All right. And this is the same individualized ego, which is experiencing all this. These are the three states. This is what the creator is explaining, is that if I am of that nature of, you know, I'm Arupa and I'm Achintya and I'm infinite and I'm all this, but I don't feel that. Right now, if I'm all that and you're telling me I'm all that, why do I feel miserable? Why do I feel finite? That is what is being explained. And through the three states, because we are very familiar with the three states. Our ancient rishis, what they did was they analyzed these three states because that's what they knew. As compared to my own, the entire world is there. Okay. And the scientists, the objective scientists, they go into the world and they, and that's how there are these inventions of air conditioning, fridge. It wasn't there previously. Fan, heater, you know, in the cold, then heater, all this. In the external world, they did all this research. In the external world, but they can never find God. They can never find the creator. So the rishis, what they thought was, okay, there is so much being done in the external world, but man is still unhappy anyways. I'm still unhappy. Why? Like, you know, I can be in the most comfortable air conditioner and I can still be miserable. We know that, right? So external circumstances is not contributing to my happiness. Like I said, when I get a particular object for that particular few days or few moments or few months, I may be happy, but again, I start looking for something else. I go for a trip, I feel happy. Another 6 months, I start looking at other destinations, right? Oh, I've seen this. Now I want to see some other destination. So the rishis thought, why is this? Why is it that I'm going from one thing to the other? I need to look within. Outside, we have looked enough. We couldn't find it. So where else remains? Inside. So then they started doing research on their own self. So they said, what do I know? Oh, I'm waking, I'm awake, then I have this wake. And there are sometimes when I dream, and then sometimes I go into deep sleep. Now let me analyze these states. So that's why it's a subjective analysis. Vedanta is a subjective analysis. Okay? All right. Now what is happening is, punascha janmantara karma yogat saeva jiva svapiti prabuddha puratraye kridati yascha jivaha tatastu jatam sakalam vichitram
ఆధారమానందమఖండ బోధం యస్మిన్ లయం యాతి పురత్రయం చ. Again, punaha cha, again, due to its connection with the deeds done in its previous births, that very same individuality, jiva, comes back to the dream or the waking state. The being who supports thus in the three cities, from whom has sprung up all diversities, is the substratum, the indivisible bliss consciousness, and in him alone, the three cities go into dissolution. So this verse we will see at two levels. One, we will see at our day-to-day level. At our day-to-day level, when we go to sleep, when we fall asleep at night, it is said that at that point, all our vasanas, see, there are vasanas because of which birth has happened. It's not only that, but there are these general vasanas because of this general birth has happened. That's one thing that is there. But in any given day, which vasana is going to fructify and which is going to exhaust is also predetermined. Like, I go on a holiday, right? And so generally we'll say, okay, 3 week holiday I'm going on. I have X number of dollars. I need, you know, so much for food, so much for tips, so much for this. So what I generally do is this much I allot per day. That's how I take money with me. Like, okay, if it is 15 days and say I need $100 a day, I can survive on 100, then I will take $1,500 or whatever, right? So per day, this much expense. Actually, my daughter has a friend who quit his job and he went traveling across the world and he had taken X number of amount. And he said, per day, that's all I'm going to spend, because he was going traveling, backpacking across the world, you know? So the idea is that much amount only I am allowed to spend. Same way, every day, that much vasanas only will fructify and only those I will exhaust. That also is predetermined. It's not like, okay, I've taken birth with 100 vasanas and 100 vasanas will get exhausted in 1 month of my birth or 1 year of my birth. They could. If I came with 100 vasanas and they exhausted in the first year of my birth, there will be death at year one. Okay? But generally, this is so in our day-to-day life, every night we will fall asleep only when the vasanas for that day have exhausted. For that day. And the reason that we automatically wake up in the morning is because the next day's vasanas have now fructified. Therefore, when the vasanas fructify, I will wake up whether there is an alarm clock or not. And if there is an alarm clock set, but if my vasanas for the next day have not yet fructified, I will not wake up. That's why I sleep through the alarm. People sleep through the alarm, and there are many people who don't need the alarm. Agreed or not agreed? Agreed? That's the reason. So what is happening is, every single day this is happening. Now, if in a particular day, my entire lifetime vasanas are exhausted and I go to sleep, I do not wake up in the morning. Okay. The reason that I'm waking up every morning, somebody in Vancouver asked me, they said, why are we still living? The senior couple. And I said, because your vasanas are not yet exhausted. That's the only reason. He said, you mean there is more for us to experience? I said, yes. I don't know what it is. You also will not know what it is. But know that if death has not come, then there are vasanas to be exhausted. That's how it is. So we will fall asleep when our vasanas are exhausted for the day. We will wake up when the vasanas have fructified for the day. If there are no more vasanas to be fructified, we will not wake up on a particular day. That's the best way to go anyways, but that's how it is. All right. Now, in this life, then this is a day-to-day life. The next level is from one life to the next. So the same thing happens when all the vasanas for this life have exhausted, death happens. What is death? It is a separation of the subtle body from the gross body. Why does the separation happen? Because the jiva thinks that this body is no longer of use to me. Because whatever vasanas that I could exhaust in this particular body, I have exhausted. Now there are no more vasanas that I can exhaust. It's exactly like I come home from work and then I have to go play tennis or go swimming or go for a party. And I say, oh, these work clothes are not good for me anymore. I'm going to discard them. I'm going to wear a new garb, either for a party or for a tennis or for swimming or for whatever that I have to do. Or I want to go to sleep. I want to go to bed. These clothes are no good. I'm going to take up a nightgown or whatever. Okay. Same way. The jiva pasausi jirnani yatha vihai, Bhagwan says in Bhagavad Gita, it says that when the jiva decides, and it is entirely up to the jiva to decide, we don't know when it will happen, to decide that this body is now no longer of use to me. And the minute it thinks, it knows that, it doesn't think, it knows that this body, it will leave the body and it will go. It will not consider that this body has little kids, has parents, has responsibilities, has a mortgage, has this, that, debt, nothing, nothing. Death does not think of anything. Okay. Now, what then happens? What happens to the body? Body is made out of the five elements, right? So when we cremate the body goes back into the five elements. So is the body really destroyed? No, it is recycled. The body is always recycled. Even if you bury it, whether you bury it or whether you cremate it or do whatever, put it in the ocean or like the Parsis, we had a Parsi kuah in Bombay, they throw it in the vultures. It is going back into its source. The source is the five elements. It will go back into the source. Okay, so it is only recycled. What is happening to the Jivatma? Is it dead? No, no. It will get recycled as well. So what it will do is it will try and find a womb where the next set of vasanas have to be exhausted. And that's why it says, punascha janmantara karma yogat. Now, why are those vasanas there? Because this jiva in this body has done all these karmas with doership. Karma yogat. Karma yogat means he has done karma because of those karma, because he is joined with those karmas. Oh, yoga yuj, coming from dhatu yuj. He has joined with the karmas means what? He has taken ownership for those karmas that he did. He was the doer. He was the enjoyer. He thought, I do and I enjoy. This notion, with this notion that jiva has done karmas, because of those karmas, subtle karma is vasana. What is vasana? Karma in gross form doesn't go anywhere. Nothing in gross form goes anywhere. Everything is stored in subtle form in the level at the level of the vasanas. Those subtle vasanas and not this birth. Many, many births the jiva has done karmas. All those karmas, whichever set fructifies, then that to fulfill that set of vasanas or set of karmas, that particular body is required. So if the vasana is to sleep, cat body. If the vasana is to eat, cow body. If the vasana is to give birth to many children, pig body. You choose. We choose. We have chosen this body. We will choose and we will choose the next body. And that's why it is said that in this life, Sa eva jiva swapiti prabuddha. So that same individuality comes back to the dream or the waking state. Dream or waking state here, either if you take it at the lower level, which I told you. So those vasanas, see, the person falls asleep and now the vasanas, the weak vasanas have to, they fructify in the middle. So the dream comes. See, person goes to sleep, right? The vasanas for that day have ended. But there are some weak vasanas which fructify in the middle of the deep sleep. And that is what creates the dream. I told you, vasanas are only seen as the dream. So those vasanas that are weak, they have now fructified. So they come in the form of a dream and they exhaust themselves. So that is at the lower level. At the higher level, waking and dream means he comes back to another life. Because in that life, again, there's the same only is there. Even animals have waking and dream and deep sleep state. So it doesn't matter which body you come in. You will sleep, you will wake up, and you will dream. So that's why here it says, he comes back, the jiva comes back to the dream or the waking state. So day-to-day level and then the final level. Okay, day-to-day. The being who sports thus in the three cities. Here, puratrayi, pura city is the states, waking, dream and deep sleep. Okay, it should not be taken as some city or anything like that. So it's pura here. Pura is city. So that is the waking dream. From whom has sprung all the diversities? Because in the previous two mantras, we saw how that same jiva or individualized ego or the self identifying with avidya becomes the experiencer, the bhokta, the doer and the enjoyer, right? So that same jiva now, when the vasanas are over for that, either for that day, the jiva will go to sleep, or either for that life, then the jiva will separate from the body, the subtle body will separate, and it will go get another body, and then it will start again doing the same things. But the substratum is the same. Self only is deluded. Okay, so that's what is being said. That has sprung up all diversities. All this thing has come from that one source. That is where we have to go back to. Okay, that's what is said. Has sprung up all diversities. He is the substratum. He is who? The pure self. Okay? The indivisible bliss consciousness. Akhandam, Adharam, substratum. Anandam, bliss. Akhanda, unbroken. Okay? Bodham, knowledge. In him alone, the yasmin layam yati puratrayam cha. So this, now this is going to the third level. Which is the third level when the entire world will dissolve. One dissolution is happening every single day for us. When I go to sleep, my world is dissolved. Until I wake up next morning. It is pralaya. That's what it is nitya pralaya, it is called. Technically, it's called nitya. Every day it is happening. Every day I fall asleep and then every morning I wake up. That's why I take it for granted, which we shouldn't. We may not wake up next day morning. We should never take anything for granted. So that is nitya pralaya. Then this next level pralaya is happening when I die. When there is a physical death to this body, that also is a pralaya. And then it will again create the body. Another body will be created for my individual ego to go into to exhaust the vasanas. Then at the third level is when the entire world will dissolve. There will be pralaya, maha pralaya, okay, which is at the end of the four yugas, which is at the end of Brahmaji's Brahmaji's tenure is 1 year, 1,000 years, and his in eight chapter it will come. It's like four yugas times 1,000 is 1 day and all that. Huge, huge, huge tenure years. He has 100 years to live, but his 1 year is, or 1 day is like four yugas, whatever. Anyway, like that. So it's a huge, huge, huge tenure. But it ends. It ends. Okay. So in him alone, the three cities go into dissolution. So what is to be understood is that this dissolution is happening at three levels. In deep sleep, the dissolution, it is going into causal body. At the time of death, the jiva has a chance to go merge into the pure consciousness if it realizes its own nature in this life. But most of us, we don't. We die ignorant. So what happens is there is a dissolution. It's very, very temporary. And the minute another body is found to exhaust vasanas, that jiva will come back. Then the final dissolution happens, which is also not final. Because why? The vasanas for that yuga are of all the people get exhausted. This is what is happening. This is like at the total level. So at the end of Kali Yuga, at the end of the four yugas, or Kali Yuga is the last, which is still three quarters is left. We are only in the first quarter. At the end of this Kali Yuga, what will happen is Brahmaji's 100-year tenure will end. It'll end. He has to get changed now. So when that happens, this entire world will merge into Ishvara, and from Ishvara into this. If you want to go by the actual ladder, then the earth will merge into water. Water will merge into fire. Fire will merge into air. Air will merge into space. And space will finally merge into pure consciousness. And this is what he's talking about. The three cities go into dissolution. So everybody, either at the individual level, waking, dream, deep, or at at a middle level where there is death, or at the final level, everybody's waking dream and deep sleep state will all merge into him. So the point is that there is only one source from where all this thing has come. Why? In the first two mantras, we saw it is him only that is getting deluded because of Maya, and this diversity is created. That's why I see the differences. This is avidya, that I see that somebody else is different from me. That is avidya. So that has been created. And at the end of pralaya, during the time of pralaya, at the end, all these cities will merge into him. So in all these verses, we should know that he himself is the originator, the creator, and he is himself the dissolve. We will dissolve into him, all of us. Okay? All right. So after this, from 15 onwards, there is a new topic starting. So I'm going to end today's session here today. And are there any questions, or if you want to ask me something? Also, please note that next Monday, there will not be a class because Swamiji is going to be here. So our next class will be the Monday after that. Okay. And I'm not 28 May, I think it will be, right? 28th May will be the next class. 21st May is a holiday, and we have Yajna here. So if there is any questions, please ask me.
Yeah, I have a question. We were talking about the three states and about deep sleep. It is the tamas that is predominant. And you said that there is complete ignorance. At the same time, there is happiness. So that is confusing me a little bit, because tamas is always with dukkha, right? How come we are...
Tamas is not dukkha. Tamas is just non-apprehension. Rajas is tamas is complete ignorance.
But
there is happiness, but that's why we say ignorance, because during deep sleep, do you know that you are happy? During the sleep, when it is happening? No.
Yeah.
But when you wake up, have you ever said, I had a very sorrowful sleep? I was very sorrowful. I feel miserable. Have you ever said that? You always say, that's why, you know, somebody is driving, passenger is sleeping. We say, oh, I was driving and he was happily sleeping. Do we say he was sorrowfully sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
Happily sleep. Do I feel I was very sorrowful? Deep sleep I had, I was very sorrowful.
No.
Never feel that. No. That's what it is. There is happiness, but you are ignorant of it. So there is ignorance, there is happiness and ignorance. With Rajas and Tamas, let me see. We have our snake and rope example, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You walk into a room, and suppose if it is completely dark and you don't see the rope at all. Okay. You don't see, it's completely dark. Will you mistake it to be a snake or a garland or anything?
Yeah.
No. The reason that you mistake it to be a snake is because you only have partial, there's a dim light. Okay. And in that dim light, you see something which is coiled in the corner, and you then project on it. You can even project a garland. You know, oh, somebody's waiting for me with a garland there, you know, but you project a snake. Point is, see, if there is complete ignorance, that's why they say ignorance is bliss. In our case, see, if there was complete ignorance means what? Means I don't even know that I exist. That is complete ignorance. There would be no problem only. Right? Point is that I am not completely ignorant, because I never say that I don't exist. I may say that you don't exist, but do I ever say that I don't exist? Okay. So there is not the complete ignorance. But when I say I exist, what am I existing as? That is incorrect, because I say I'm Jaya, I'm body, I'm mother, I'm father, all that I'm saying. So if it was complete ignorance, it was one thing, but it is not complete ignorance. Okay, it is not complete ignorance. Is it complete knowledge? No, it is not. It is wrong knowledge, and therefore there is the misapprehension. Okay, first there is a non-apprehension of my real nature, and now I misapprehend myself to be the body. Then because of the body, I'm a mother, I'm a female, I'm a 5'4", I'm emotional, I'm sentimental. All these things now I'm related to this one, I'm not related to that one, I like this, I don't, all this comes. Mm-hmm. So ignorance, complete ignorance would have been good, but it is not there because I assert myself. No, I'm existing. I know, I assert myself, but I think I know means my intellect knows, I think. Mm-hmm. That is the misapprehension. That is wrong. That has to be corrected. That's why in deep sleep, there is happiness and ignorance. Mm-hmm. There is ignorance of happiness during deep sleep. During deep sleep. That's the point. We say there's happiness because after I wake up, I always feel happy from a deep sleep. Sometimes whole night, if you dream, you know, you wake up, you're tired actually. Because you feel like all night you've been thinking, and you feel tired, right? But from deep sleep, you don't get up and then you say, I'm tired or anything. That's why it is.
But just to clarify, so in samadhi also there is happiness, but there is that knowledge that I'm happy.
There is that's why we say that what you achieve in deep sleep every day, you must achieve it in your waking state. Mm. That is nirvikalpa samadhi.
Okay, thank you.
Jayaji.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You said that you have to exhaust all vasanas and then you die. But
not you have to, when they exhaust.
Yeah, okay. Then yeah, but isn't it the unfructified vasanas that direct you to the next body?
Correct.
So if you're saying all has to be exhausted.
Right.
Like, I'm confused with that.
Okay. See, when we say all vasanas, first of all, let's say how birth happens. See, there is a storage of vasanas, which is known as Sanchita Karma. Sanchita word comes from Chi Dhatu. Chi Dhatu is to collect. So I have had, say, 500 births, 1,000 births. And in those 1,000 births, I have, say, collected, for ease of calculation, 1,000 vasanas. Okay? From, it is not like all 1,000 will fructify at the same time. It is like a GIC. You know, I've kept a GIC for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. So each one will mature at its own time. Every vasana has its own time to mature. So out of the 1,000, say 100 mature, birth takes place, but 900 have remained unfructified. Okay, so with that 100 karmas, now these vasanas are known as prarabdha karma. Prakarshena arabdha. They have now begun, the arrow has been shot, and birth takes place. So the 100 vasanas have to be exhausted in that birth span. Okay, 900 is still there, that is not touched at all. The 100, when they get exhausted, I die. But the 900 are there, out of which maybe 150 now fructify and I'll get a new birth. What is happening to us is, the point is that these 100 vasanas, when I exhaust, I could technically accumulate another 100 or another 200 or another 1,000. Mm-hmm. Depending on how much doership I have.
Yeah.
In exhausting 100 vasanas, I could either create only 50 more vasanas, or I could create 75, or I could create 150, or I could create 200. So that chance is there. An ignorant person who is not come in contact with this knowledge at all will exhaust the 100 vasanas at the same time. He will create more vasanas for himself. So to that 900, this 200 are added. Now he ends up with a storage of 1,100 vasanas. We as seekers, our effort should be to do everything without doership and enjoyership. Then what is happening is that vasana which is there will get exhausted, but I will not create a new one. And that's why dream, you are exhausting your weaker vasanas, you're not getting any new ones. And those vasanas that will then fructify will give me the next birth.
Okay.
Because that's why I told you, see, there are some people who at a very late age take up painting, take up, you know, because that vasana was there, but it didn't fructify until they retired. They start learning singing, dancing. At a late age, they start. And they like it and they do it. So the vasana is there, but then why did you not do it from, are you had from childhood till 65 to do all this, but you never did. Now that you retired, and suddenly now you want to paint, suddenly you want to do this. I have friends, you know, they've taken up painting, right? They're painting, he's even selling his paintings now, and he's retired. So that vasana was there, but it didn't fructify till that age of 65. That's why I told you that each vasana fructifies at that particular time. So that's why when you fall asleep, there'll be some vasanas which will fructify in that. It's not like every day we dream. Sometimes we dream, right? So they fructify at that time. Everything is predetermined. When which vasana will fructify is predetermined. So at age, I came into this contact in this knowledge after I got married, right? So the vasana obviously was there, but it didn't actually take root till I came to Vancouver, I got married, I met Swami Tejumanji, you know, like time. That is also there. Why did I not come in contact with, I asked Swami Tejumanji, I asked Guruji, I said, Guruji, I should have come in contact with you before I got married. He said, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the time you've come in. Now you came in contact. Now you stay with it. So what time it will fructify also is there. That's why it's there.
It also explains some of the crazy dreams one gets.
Yes. Oh, God.
You know, and you don't know where it came from.
It's come from your own vasanas. That much I can tell you. It never comes from anybody's. You cannot say, oh, because of you, I got this dream. No.
But I'm saying sometimes they say, oh, something that happened during the day. But it's not, because sometimes it's so off.
It's so off. Correct. Yeah. Correct. You're very true. That's why we say it is from the, so we don't know where in the past life we have done that. Sometimes we see a movie and then that same movie, something we'll see. Or we, like that's what I said, we see a circus, then we see flying elephants. Sometimes, yes, whatever happened in the day will come. But most of the times you cannot say that it happened in the day. Most of the times you cannot say that things happen during in that particular day. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So that's why. Yeah. It's very fascinating. The law of karma. It's a huge, huge law. And it's a good thing to know, because then we know why things are happening and how I should deal with them and what type of karmas I should do now so that I don't buy. Because see, whatever has happened in the past, we have no control. So there's no point thinking, why did I do this? Why? There's no point only of thinking of the past. You know, Gurudev said, it's past is dead and it speaks. So there is no this thing. But what will come in the future, we can control. We can try to control. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other? No questions? Padmaja, you
Now, one more question.
Yeah.
So according to this, it's actually good to dream, because you can exhaust vasanas without getting more vasanas. But what about people who don't dream? Then they're not able to.
When they don't have the weaker vasanas. See, it is good to dream because your vasanas are getting exhausted. But also I told you that dreams come to a rajasic mind.
Mm-hmm.
If mind is sattvic, then those dreams will not come. So it is always good to develop more sattva, because that is the path to liberation anyway, right? So it is always good to develop sattva. But if you, because see, many people come and they ask for the meanings of dreams and all. If we dream something, we must not, Gurudev's definition of dream was vomit of the mind. That is his definition, right? So he said, if you vomit out food, do you go back and say, oh, what did I vomit? You know, do you go look at it? You don't. You just walk away. So he used to say, you dream, your mind had a vomit. Now, just leave it. People think, aray, baba, aray, baba, how many times people have come and, I see future things in my dream and I saw this and then that happened. And, oh, it's a dream. See, understand at a deeper level that the waking world itself is a dream.
Mm-hmm.
This week that you think that I am speaking, you're listening, this class is going on, it's a dream. If this only is a dream, now how much of a dream is that dream in my sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should not, we must know the dream analogy to get over the three states. That's why we should know that, not for anything else. And yeah, it if you look at it from that, that you some weaker vasanas you're exhausting, yeah, it's good. But then know that then there's more rajas as well, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You'll find as you progress in your, that is one more thing of spiritual listening, progress, less dreams, less agitations, more pure, more quietitude of mind. Okay. All right. Okay. So I will see you in 2 weeks.